Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible on coast to coast, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitudes, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitudes, bad vibes. We are chilling the most in the Pharrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Grandma likes to drink Jameson, right near New York City. The Big Apple, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, fight to fight a party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it, ooh. All right, for all with you, with our good friend, longtime leader of men, LA's finest broadcaster from KNX, the great radio station in Lipstick City, Los Angeles, Cali, Randy Cardoon. Randy, my man, how you been, buddy?
Hey, Scott, glad to be with you again, but I gotta say, this is the first time I'm actually seeing you. This is like, I can see you now. It's an old TV thing, I like it.
Right, because you and I always did radio, right. and we never got to look at each other, and now we finally, after all these years, we finally visually meet. It's good to meet you, my friend.
Good to meet you back, and sweet mysteries of life. Now it's burned into my memory. Okay.
All right. So I bet you didn't think I wore sport coats on TV either, because I dress like a bum in radio.
Oh, well, don't we all? That's why I'm not wearing my tie, my nice shirt. This is just kind of like the golf casual, you know, just kind of in the little studio, kicking back. You've got a nice background. Me, I just kind of have posters and stuff.
Well, listen, I have to ask you, you're in the studio at KNX, obviously.
Yes.
And, we are unable in New York City to go anywhere. You cannot go to a radio studio or anything like that. It's literally shut down. Everyone I know in radio is doing their show from home. I don't know anyone going to a studio. Tell me, because, you know, New York City is the worst, really epicenter of this virus in the country right now. But, I'm friends with your governor. He's been on my show a million times. I knew him when he was the lieutenant governor. I knew him before he was that, even when he was just a normal guy, when he was the mayor of San Francisco, right? So, Gavin's a buddy of mine. Now, he won't admit that to anyone. But he really was ahead of the curve, I thought, on this virus when he started telling people in California the wave that was coming. Now, describe to me what the situation is like in Los Angeles and let's say LA and Orange counties of where you're at, as opposed to, you know, we already know what we got going in New York. We got tents set up in Central Park and in Bryant Park and everywhere else, and we got the Navy here with the comfort ship. And every single hotel and every single hospital is full of people that are sick. And one of every two New Yorkers has it now in New York City. And it's really scary. What's it like out there?
Well, it's not as scary as it is by you, although we do have the other ship, the Mercy, out here off the Port of Los Angeles. So that's actually out here down by Long Beach. So we have that. Everybody sheltering in place. And to be honest, this is my last day of being in the studio. So I'm going to be reporting starting tomorrow from my own home studio. So that's how that's going to work out. But for the most part, we're in a cluster here with Entercom and a lot of other stations. Just about everybody, all the music stations are doing it from home. All the people that work in other stations, they are all at home. Here at KNX, because we're an all-new station, similar to WCBS, 1010 Winds, that kind of thing out by you, we have a lot of people here, but only maybe the anchors and a couple of writers and the editors. That's about it. Pretty much everybody else is reporting from home. So little by little, we're starting to do reporters being at home in that scenario. As far as the locale is concerned, we are not in as bad a shape as New York is. I believe we started doing, in a sense, we kind of credit New York because we saw how hard you guys have been hit. So all of a sudden, we've started to do all those shelter in place, social distancing. And to an extent, a lot of that social distancing is being credited for why we aren't having as many infections as some other cities.
Are people for or against Gavin Newsom as the way he's handling it? Because I can tell you that Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, has skyrocketed in popularity the way he has handled this, as opposed to, let's just say, the guy in the White House who people are mocking. And let's face facts, the guy is, the way he's handled it, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, you can't argue with that it's been mishandled and mismanaged. But this guy in New York, he's gaining steam. Like, people are saying he should be the president in 24. The way he's handled this, how do you believe Gavin Newsom has handled it?
I think in a similar way. I think a lot of people were kind of on both sides of the fence with him, especially with some of the situations and the budget and a lot of other things that have been going around, especially with cities and the way they've had people coming over from Mexico and that whole thing. However, I believe because of the way he's handled it here, his stock is rising. And I think he's really handled it well. There really hasn't been a Republican versus Democrat kind of thing. And to the president's credit, he's even credited Gavin Newsom for being very helpful in what's been going on out here. The local mayor, Eric Garcetti, has also been very good as to how they've handled things. It's been interesting to watch this all happen, because no matter what side of the fence you're on, we are in the middle of history. I've never, short of 9/11, I've never experienced anything like this. And even 9/11 is different. This is, it happened, and then there was reaction. This is ongoing. This is every single day there's something different going on. The NBA is shut down. All of sports is shut down. We're in a situation now where people are beginning to wonder, how much longer am I going to get through this? And I can't ever remember a situation, maybe the Cuban Missile Crisis when I was five, that people are worried as much as they are.
So Randy Cardoon with us from KNX in Los Angeles on Coast to Coast. When you're doing stories on the air, are they legitimately 100% virus, or are you doing other news stories of any consequence? Is it mostly about, frankly, doom and gloom?
Yeah, most of the stuff that I've been doing, I'm a sports director here at KNX, but let's be honest, the minute all the games stopped, I was being phased out of sports and put into like an inside reporter scenario. So I was trying to do sports stories that was involved with coronavirus, like the NBA players being testing positive. Who was testing positive? What schedules were being closed? And eventually it became that, okay, you're not doing anything with sports. Today, I was basically the bringer of bad news. I was the guy that was talking about a study that the University of Washington has been doing, that they were looking at trying to figure out when the peak of deaths would be happening in all 50 states in the U.S.
Wow.
New York, sadly, is way up there. And they say the peak for New York, according to this University of Washington study, is going to be April 10th. And as many as 800 people a day dying, according to their projections. Here in California, I mean, that's crazy. Here in California, nowhere near that. I believe we were talking about the end of the month of April, so 25th, 26th, 27th. And they were talking about maybe 120 people dying a day. I mean, 120 people is incredibly bad anyway. But then multiply it by what they're talking about for New York, and it's just tragic.
So,
I'm basically the doom and gloom guy.
Well, I don't understand why. I really am. It's hard for me to wrap my hands around it. Why is it that, because California is so enormous. I lived there for 10 years. There's 40 plus million people live there. And New York City is, like 9 million live there, whatever. But in the area, in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, obviously, it's certainly bigger than anywhere else. I mean, it's enormous in terms of the millions of people. You're talking 25, 30 million people live there in a very small, confined tri-state area. But Los Angeles and Orange counties are spread out. They're enormous. And the state is enormous. It's the biggest state in the country. Why is it, do you believe, if you have any grasp of it, that your numbers are so low compared to ours? I don't understand that.
Well, I think part of it is because you have to remember this study that they put together was based on social distancing. So in other words, they're looking at social distancing and how it affects how these deaths are projected, how hospital needs are projected. So based on that, they were looking at it and saying, okay, if social distancing is working, you brought it up yourself. You said you guys are so packed in to Manhattan, so packed in the state of New York, in the Tri-Cities area. That is basically the key. It's difficult to social distance in New York. I don't mean to be simplistic about it, but it seems that's kind of where they're headed, at least my inference of what they're talking about. Right. Here in California, we were watching what happened in New York, and I think a lot of people decided, hey, we have to do things differently. We have to change. It's almost like, to quote a sports situation, you know, the first time a teammate of yours goes up to bat against a fireball pitcher, you now know what to expect because you've seen your teammate do it. All right, now I'm coming up to bat. Now it's coming my way, and I know how to handle it possibly a little better. So they change gears a little bit. They really emphasize social distancing. They emphasize stay at home. That's huge here. Another story I did today was basically stay at home, shelter in place. Is that legal? Can your local communities do that? There were some commentators on air saying, hey, it's totalitarianism. You can't do that. This is against the law. Well, no, it's basically the Supreme Court has said when you're dealing with the public good and the public health situation, that will overcome certain freedoms. And that's why local governments can do this. And even if you want to sue them, it's not going to work. So that's what I believe.
All right, Randy Cardoon with us from CanX in Los Angeles. Randy, let's talk about the sports scene in Los Angeles. I have a lot I want to talk about. So
sports,
first of all, I want to talk about Steve Ballmer. So Steve Ballmer cut a deal for the Forum, and he bought the Great Western Forum, everyone's favorite thing to look at outside the window on the right side of the airplane when you're landing at Lackadive Airport. It was a very shrewd purchase, in my opinion. First of all, it was with James Dolan, who owns MSG. MSG owned the Forum and owned that land and that property. Now, that property, in turn, is what I deem a very valuable asset in Los Angeles. And here's why. I believe that that area in Inglewood is going to be the hottest part of Los Angeles for the next decade, based on the SoFi Stadium that Kroenke's built, billions of dollars invested into the football stadium for the Rams and Chargers, and the surrounding businesses, theaters, restaurants, bars, shops, everything, hotels that are going to go in there. And now you're going to build a new $2 billion basketball arena there. That guy is as smart as they come, because the Lakers have owned Los Angeles since you and I were in our mother's womb, and they now, I believe, will break free of the Lakers' guise over that city and have their own entity and their own identity. And I believe that they will be on equal footing with the Lakers moving forward, based on their popularity will soar, their valuation will soar, and they will be the hot ticket. Staples is great. LA Live is great. But the Inglewood scene with a new basketball arena and that SoFi is going to kick its ass, and you know it.
Yeah, and it's all about this. You know, Steve Ballmer did it with money, and he basically got himself out of a sticky situation by buying out Madison Square Garden and getting them out of there. So now he has the Forum. Now he doesn't have any people blocking his way to build the place. So that is an excellent move. But I disagree in a sense with what you're talking about. I believe that you're right that it's heading in that direction. But something has to happen before the Clippers usurp the Lakers, and that's winning. This is a team that's going to have to win and win often and win championships, because Laker fans are right in saying, hey, we've won X amount of championships. What have you guys won? And let's be honest, the Clippers, short of getting past the second round a couple of times, well, actually, come to think of it, they've never gotten past the second round. So they've got to get past the second round. And in doing so, if this year ever continues, which at this point, who knows, but if they end up going back and playing some sort of forced playoff, Clippers are going to have to win the title and knock off the Lakers in the progress to get people's attention.
So, respectfully, I have 3 minutes. I believe now, after they beat them twice and then lost to them in the recent meeting, where I actually bought back into that the Lakers are better than the Clippers, because I thought that the Clippers had a space in their head, like they were renting a penthouse in their head because they beat them twice and they were talking smack, Beverly and everyone else. I think, you know, getting some real estate in their minds. Now that we've seen the Lakers come back and beat their ass in a game where they were losing in that game, and then the Lakers took over the game and won the game, where are they in terms of right now? Two wins, Clippers, one win, Lakers. Was the Laker win convincing enough to you that now they look like the team that if they pick up the season will finish it off and win a championship? Or can the Clippers beat them?
I still think the Clippers can beat them. I think you give everybody one shot. The Lakers have been playing excellent basketball going into the break, if you will. The Clippers were playing okay basketball, but the big thing about the Clippers, they got everybody back. All their big key guys have been injured at one time or another. They never really had Paul George playing with Kawhi Leonard, playing with Pat Beverly. They never had them all in one shot. When they had them, they were pretty unstoppable, although the Lakers did handle them that one time. I think, and it's difficult to tell at this point, but I think once they get back together, and so much of this, by the way, is going to be how fast can these guys get back to playing good basketball? What are they doing right now while they're kicking back? The Lakers, by the way, and this was something that came in today, the Lakers now officially no one has coronavirus. There were some questions before. No one. They all went through the quarantine. Everybody's out. Again, to answer your question, it's all going to be about what shape they are, basketball shape, when they come back to play.
I can't wait to see it because I actually believe, you know, there's a lot of teams that I think others might deem worthy of, you know, beating the Lakers in the West, you know, among the ones that'll make it. And I don't think that number is impressive to me. I don't believe Denver can beat them. I saw the Lakers go to Denver and beat their ass. I think the Clippers are the only team that can get in their way. I think it would really do wonders for their organization. I mean, that's obvious. If they beat them and then said, hey, we got a championship here and we're building a new arena and we're taking over Los Angeles and we just beat your dominant Lakers in LA, and we own this town now. They absolutely have to do that. We'll get into more of the Laker-Clipper rivalry, what's going on with if they'll even play basketball the rest of the way. We're talking to Randy Cardoon of KNX on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Go with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Coast to Coast, Pharrell with Randy Cardoon, our good friend in Los Angeles at KNX. He's been on my radio show a million times over the years, and here he is on Sports Grid. So, were you surprised, Randy, that I left radio to do television and to do sports betting television, and then I'm still doing radio, believe it or not, with your enemy in town there? My podcast is on Fantasy Sports Radio and also iHeart. I know that gets under your skin, but are you surprised that I left radio after all these years? Because I'm as pretty as a girl wearing a blazer and I'm on TV now in New York. Can you even believe it? Or do you think I'm a traitor?
No, come on. I've left radio to go onto TV before. Everybody does that. They always want to be on TV. And then sometimes you bounce back to radio. You know, this is the showbiz. The showbiz happens. So congratulations. Right. That's great.
All right. Thanks, buddy. So anyway, I still get to have you on the show. That's all that matters. And we'll always we'll always revert to you for our LA source. So let me go back.
I'm hanging on to your coattails, my friend.
All right. So when you look at the Clippers, and you and we were talking about them, do you believe? Because a lot of people I've heard say that Paul George hasn't been himself, and I don't know if I buy that. I think Kawhi has been the claw as usual, doing his thing. And then they, you know, load management this guy. He doesn't play every single night. Do you believe that with Paul George, the two of them, with the other pieces, because I think Montrezl Harrell is a beast. I think he's a violent, physical man in the middle. And I don't care about his size because he's the toughest 6'8 guy I think I've ever seen. He's nasty in the block. And I think that they have the pieces to do it. Do you believe that George and Harrell and the rest of them can play at a level that, and they're big, you know, they got the big from the Lakers, of course. Zubac, do you believe that they can do it with the roster that they have and that George can take his game to that kind of level?
Let's face last year, Toronto won. They had lightning in a bottle. They had everybody come together at the right time. Kawhi played incredible, lights out. He's now with the Clippers. They bring Paul George in. Now what they're hoping for is, in a sense, lightning in a bottle, because they're trying to get everybody at the same level at the right time playing together. And I will give the Clippers this. Clippers are as deep as any team in the NBA right now, and that's going to help them. I don't believe the Lakers are quite as deep. If something, heaven forbid, happens injury-wise, Lakers are going to be hurting, no pun intended. The Clippers have people to come in and back them up. Paul George, he has the potential to really go in there and do basically the reason they brought him in. And the key is going to be is how this team is going to play once they get back to action. Once they start playing again and they get into the rhythm, how long is it going to take? Because the Clippers haven't had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court at the same time a lot this past year.
Right.
So it's going to be so important once they get back going again, whether or not they could find that rhythm.
Do you think that Doc Rivers is still licking his chops and that he loves being the coach, or do you think he's burned out?
Oh, are you kidding? I think he's loving this, because what could get him more energized than just getting a lineup like the Clippers have right now? This has got to light a fire under any coach. This is the team that's going to go in, and he's going to have a chance to not only try to capture the imagination of Los Angeles, but to do it against LeBron James and Anthony Davis and those guys over there. It's going to be interesting to see, but, you know, Doc has had to face the Lakers with teams that just were good but weren't good enough. Now, you know, the sky's the limit for this team. And it all depends, again, how they play when the spotlight is shined on them toward the playoffs if we get back to action.
So, you know, do you believe that Frank Vogel on the other side for the Lakers, that they actually even, like, listen to him at all? Because I feel like, I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like LeBron James is running that team.
I think to an extent you're probably right. I do believe, though, Vogel is doing a good job for the position he's in. He's trying to keep everybody happy. He's trying to put together an offense. I believe they are listening to him still, because it's still early in the year and they're winning. I mean, when everybody's winning, everybody loves each other. They all listen when they're winning.
Yeah.
It's when they're not winning, if Frank Vogel's team was 14-49 instead of 49-14, then there would be a mutiny. But right now, everybody's happy. They're the number one team in the West. Only Milwaukee's ahead of them. I think right now Vogel's doing everything he's supposed to be doing.
Well, I think, no pun intended, with Frank, I think that you could coach the Lakers after having three martinis. I do not believe that he's like impairing some kind of wisdom with his offense on the Lakers. What my question now is that it's obviously a team with certain talent, and I think it's LeBron and Davis, and the rest of them, like, you know, Avery Bradley. Now, I know he has his moments when he can score, but I got to tell you, for me, he's a defender. I think he's a defender first, and I don't want that guy shooting ever in a game 5, 6, or 7. Not once. I don't want him to take one shot in a game 5, 6, or 7. And I got to tell you, I think Rondo's got a weak-ass broke jumper. And I think what I'm getting at is I think the rest of that team, like, to me, Caruso in the playoffs will barely matter. I don't think he'll do anything. I mean it. And then it goes on and on. I think Kuzma's got game. I'll give him that. And then it's those three. And I will give you Dwight Howard and McGee. I love what they do with their size and length and swatting shots and rebounding and loop dunks, alley-oop dunks. But, you know, neither one of them can shoot either. So my point is they have a bunch of guys that can't shoot. And then they have Kuzma, LeBron, and AD. Can they win a championship with three players?
I believe probably you can stick a fourth one in there, but I also believe that they all have their roles. They, you know, Dwight Howard's story is amazing. Here's a guy who came in with an ego that he usually carries in a moving van everywhere he goes, and it never seems to work out, and somehow he's going from team to team to team. Now suddenly he comes back to Los Angeles, checks it in at the local pod store where you put all your stuff when you're moving, and then...
The pawn shop.
Look at
the pawn shop.
Yeah. So he sit there and put it away, and now all of a sudden he's a completely different guy, and he's loving it. For, you know, you could tell the stress is off his shoulders. He's not the guy. There are some people that like to be the guy, that thrive on being the guy. In this case, Dwight Howard isn't the guy, and he's loving it, and because of it, he's having a really good season for Dwight Howard. So I think he's been a big help. And I believe the Lakers, if they all play together, if they all match up correctly, I mean, the Lakers, again, have this number one record in the West. And we're not talking after a sample of 20 games. We're talking 63 games into an 82-game season. This team is playing really good basketball. Whether you credit Vogel or you credit LeBron, it doesn't really matter. They're playing extremely well. And if they keep that going, sure, I think they could take it to the top.
I think LeBron James is the reason they're winning. And then everything else goes to Davis. And I like Kuzma's game, but he is not carrying the Lakers. I can guarantee you. The night that, like, nights when LeBron doesn't play and Kuzma's out there trying to light it up, they are not the same team at all. If anything happens to LeBron James down the stretch, groin pop, whatever, they're toast. They won't win anything without him. I'm telling you that, and it certainly isn't that coach. No disrespect to him. This is about LeBron James. I actually believe when they beat the Bucks, right, they played them in L.A., and I thought that LeBron, I've said this a number of times on the show, I think he's the MVP for me. Now, I see why people think that, the kid Giannis – yeah, that he's the MVP. I get it. He's going to win the MVP. I get it. That's fine. But my point is, I actually believe that LeBron James is the true MVP because what he's done with that team of really misfits, I mean, they really are. They have the reason they're good is Anthony Davis and him. And then everybody else is okay, fair enough. I guarantee you, if they didn't have LeBron James and Davis, they would suck like they have for the last 10 years, and you know it. So here's the deal. He makes them win. He makes them play with energy. He moves the ball. He passes the ball. He makes everyone around him better. He finishes. He defends. He makes others defend. They all listen. They're all coachable. This is the same team, sans both of them. If you take Davis and LeBron out of the lineup, they didn't listen to anyone, including God. They didn't listen to the weatherman. They didn't listen to Cardoon. They were awful. What he's done to transform that team is clearly the MVP of the NBA, not some guy that scores 40 every night because they have no one else on the team and they give him the ball every time he touches it, he scores. That's an easy MVP. I agree with people that say all that guy does is score. He's 7 foot tall. Like, you know, some guys have said it. He's just a 7-footer. I wish I was 7 foot and I got the ball every time down and they gave Randy offense through my hands. LeBron does everything else that makes that team win in Los Angeles, including the fans. He's got the fans like they're on crack. they like the Lakers again, like the Showtime days. And you know I'm right because I live there, and you know that that's what they were like. When Showtime Lakers, it didn't matter what they did, they turned to gold. That's what this guy's doing for that team. He's the real MVP.
Well, first time in 7 years, this team is actually playing winning basketball. And the thing is, without Giannis Antetokounmpo, where's Milwaukee? Literally, where is Milwaukee? It's in Wisconsin.
It's in Milwaukee, yeah.
Exactly. So suddenly Milwaukee is coming. First time we've talked about Milwaukee in this situation since Lou Alcindor played there many years ago. Yeah. Many years ago. So we're talking about suddenly Milwaukee is a championship candidate. And now back in L.A., Laker fans are going crazy because let's face it, the Lakers, you talked about misfits. How about putting LeBron on last year's Lakers team? That was a team that there was nothing he could do about that. So he ended up getting injured, which is, in a sense was probably a good thing because as much as he was working, you could tell it was all on him. This year, it's not all on him. He has Davis. He has guys who can shoot. He has some people that are role players that'll play really well. And I'm a big fan of this whole role player thing. I think it's great to have a superstar like LeBron James on the team. But again, it's not going to work incredibly well if the guys around him doesn't play well.
Right.
He has proven in Cleveland that he can lift the team on his shoulders and beat Golden State when Golden State was Golden State. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens now. Again, if we get back to action somewhere down the line, that we'll see whether or not LeBron could really keep it going and lift these Lakers to heights that we haven't seen since Kobe and Shaq, or Kobe and Powell, actually.
Yeah, they were really good. I'll give you that. So Randy Cardoon with us at KNX in L.A. So when you saw you know, the Kobe Bryant tragedy and he died, right? Is there anyone that you could even remotely compare that to in Los Angeles lore of a passing, whether it's a Hollywood icon or, you know, a movie star or any story other than O.J. Simpson? When that happened in Brentwood, when that, you know, bottom line is, which story's bigger? Was the, because that obviously that was a story that lasted for years because of the trial. But right. When that story happened and they found, you know, the wife and Goldberg dead or Goldman dead, what did you think in terms of comparing it to when Kobe Bryant died? Which story was bigger in your mind? Have you ever seen anyone in a bigger story about someone dying?
For an event? In the sense that something was going on and I had to watch it happen in front of me, it was OJ. Because let's be honest, he's going down the freeway.
Right.
Helicopters are following him. A parade of police cars are following him. Crazy. People are hanging on bridges saying, go OJ with banners. Right. Cars are stopping on the freeway, pulling over and just, hey, I'm going to watch this. And sitting there and cheering him on while he's being chased for an alleged murder. It that as far as an instance of something happening that was must-see TV, that was, I think OJ in that sense was bigger. But when you talk about the aftermath of a guy who was so beloved here in Los Angeles, covered so many aspects, covered sports, covered Hollywood. He was a producer. He was on his way to being a producer. He had that.
He won an Oscar.
Won an Oscar. Yeah. So. He was a producer. He went through all that. This is a guy that just basically covered all bases. And people were so stunned. You just don't see somebody like that. People that are superstars in anything die. I mean, short of JFK Jr., something along those lines, something that is so up in the air and highly touted, all of a sudden he's gone. And why he's gone? Because he was on his way with other people to help coach his daughter's basketball team. I mean, how many of us have kids that we take on a daily basis or on the weekends to go watch or coach our kids' team? And so much of that was so stunning. I mean, when it happened, I was doing some live stuff over, I do some classic car show stuff. We do a podcast, which is up here behind me. And So we were doing something at Pomona at Grand National Roadster Show, and we were in the middle of an interview, and my phone kept blowing up, and it was the station, and I got on the phone, and they told me, and I went, it's like the world stopped. I mean, how do you, what? I mean, it's for the sheer length of time, the effect of somebody that it had on the local populace around the world.
Right.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant had to be bigger.
All right, so when we come back with Randy Cardoon, I want to talk more about everything else going on in Los Angeles. It was certainly horrible and horrific what happened with Kobe, no doubt about it. I want to ask him about a couple of cars, and I want to talk about the Dodgers and the Angels and the final pieces of the Kings being shipped out. They got rid of these guys like Alec Martinez, and that's the end of the window for the King Stanley Cup run that they had. We're talking to Randy Cardoon of KNX on Coast to Coast. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Coast to Coast, Randy Cardoon, our great guest from KNX in Los Angeles. So, Randy, the GTO, like a great muscle car. Now, I know you've seen millions of other cars, and I know you do the car shows, and you're way ahead of me on the car curve. But, you know, the GTO was such a badass, you know, muscle car, and it just sounds like it just had the greatest sound to it going down the road, you know, waking all the neighbors, all the old ladies don't like it. That guy with that loud car down at the end of the street and then just shredding tire. What did you think of that car from its heyday until now when you see guys bringing them back to life and like keeping them and refurbishing them and rolling in them? It's such a badass car. I always thought it was just so unbelievable.
My favorite Pontiac GTO, the 65 with the headlamps that are one on top of the other. I like that better than the 64. People think the 64 is, well, it was the first one. And then the 68. The 68 with the headlights that were hidden behind the grill. I thought those cars were great. Now, if you're talking about the newest GTOs, the one that came up from Australia, they actually brought up Holden's from Australia and called them GTOs. I hear friends, I've never been in one. I have friends that love them, but not as much as the classics. And the fact that they're still bringing them back, it's just really cool to see those cars driving around and so many people having such a great time with them. And it brings you back. I think classic cars in general, if you're a car guy, it brings you back and it comes out. It just fills you full of all sorts of interesting stories about friends you know who have cars and experience that they've had with cars. And that's why the GTO, my dad had a Pontiac 56 Star Chief. And I currently have a 57 Pontiac Custom Safari Wagon, which is the two-door wagon, kind of like.
Wow. Yeah.
I'd show you a picture, but I don't want to overdo it.
You don't want, yeah, I'll get jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I could probably find it. But, you know, it's really cool because we have a lot of fun with it. It's a rare car, but it's just driving down the freeway and people will see you and they'll wave or they'll give you the thumbs up. And it's just because it takes you back to a different time. And it's a lot of fun. And again, the stories, which is what our podcast is about, talking about cars. We talk about all the stories. We've got coming up in our next show, Rick Nelson's son, Gunner, the late Rick Nelson.
Sure.
The Ozzy and Harriet, Ricky and David, that whole thing. They have car stories that Gunner starts talking about. And it's always, even Mark Harmon, who's his uncle from NCIS,
right.
He talks about what he likes to do, his favorite car story. So it's always interesting to just sit back and listen to people talking these car stories. It's really cool.
That's great. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, we had mentioned before, the SoFi Stadium. It's going to be unbelievable. And the Rams and Chargers. Now, we know that unless I'm mistaken, right? The Chargers were playing in that little boxing stadium, soccer stadium.
Home of the Galaxy, yeah.
Right, so that's where they were playing. So, and then the Rams were playing at the Coliseum, and then everybody says, allegedly, that the Rams are, you know, the team that everybody cares about. Is all that...
Here's my car.
I like that. That's very impressive.
Okay, you could, go ahead.
I think you could pick up a lot of chicks with that at the beach. So do you agree with that, that the Rams are LA's football team, and now they've kind of... frankly, cleaned house they get ready for the season. Are you surprised at the cleaning that they did?
Well, to answer your first question, I think that the biggest trouble, and this is, I'm not the first person to bring this up, is just a lot of people never wanted them to leave San Diego. So the Chargers, when they came to L.A., the San Diego people didn't want to come up and see them because they felt they were traitors. The L.A. people... a lot of them were Raider fans, and when the Raiders didn't come out, well, the Chargers are the opposite, the team that the Raiders love to hate. Right. So nobody really got into the Chargers when they came to town. That's why you would see so many opposing team jerseys on the field when they would play them. As far as the changes they made, well, I think to an extent, yes, because – you want to go in with a real exciting team. And right now, we're not totally sure what the Chargers are going to be like. Phillip Rivers is gone thanks to 20 interceptions. You can't, you know, I don't know how long he's been there. Well, I do know how long he's been there, but I mean, you don't keep that guy there after something like that. They tried to get Tom Brady. I don't know how seriously they tried to get him. It didn't work out. Right now, their starting quarterback is Tyrod Taylor, who we all remember from the Bills. He's okay. Anthony Lynn, assistant coach with the Bills, so he knows how to handle him. But I think we're going to see at the draft whether or not they go after someone like Justin Herbert out of Oregon, whether they go to Utah State's Jordan Love, but Love threw 17 interceptions in college. So this is all stuff. They let Melvin Gordon go. He ended up going to Denver. Thomas Davis, really good defender. He's gone. He went to Washington because of money concerns. But they brought in some other guys, and we'll see what happens with that. They have to get somebody on their offensive line to really help out. They've got Trey Turner from Carolina. They got Brian Bulaga from Green Bay. If those guys can really be an upgrade, then this team has a good shot no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that the Chargers, listen, I don't think that Tyrod Taylor's a bum or anything, but I think at the end of the day, that idea with Lynn and Taylor, I think it'll end up, that'll be the end of Lynn as you now know him, and it'll be a one-year at best thing with Tyrod Taylor. I could be wrong. I think it would behoove them to draft Herbert, and you know, I know he's a Eugene kid, but I think he'd be fantastic. I think he's got a great arm, and everyone says he's not big in big moments. I think that's ridiculous. I think he'd be a great draft choice for them, and I think they'd have a very nice, you know, 12 to 15 year window with him if they got him, much like they did with Rivers. I think that Rivers at the end of the day had a rough season, but I think a lot of that had to do with up front. And I think a lot of it had to do with other factors. I don't think he played great, but I honestly, it was the end of the road there. I think they made the right move. I think it was kind of time for that. But at the same time, I could see where some would think that it was they treated him poorly going out the door.
Yeah, after the amount of time he was there, after all he did, all the touchdowns he threw, it was kind of leaving with a whimper, not a big celebration.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but that's what happens when your team does not put wins on the football field. They'll probably honor him when and if the Colts come to Los Angeles the next time. And I don't remember if the Colts are coming back this time. I know they were in Los Angeles this last year, so we'll see what happens. But if, you know, if Phillip Rivers ever comes back, I'm sure they'll honor him if they have some way to put him into the Charger Hall of Fame. I think he will be there eventually because he was that good as a Charger. But you're right. I think that it was very difficult for them to say attaboy when the team finished the season the way it did, and he threw as many interceptions as he did.
All right. Randy Cardoon with us on Coast to Coast. Let's talk about the Dodgers and Angels. We'll start with the Dodgers. Can you even fathom that they wouldn't play baseball this summer? We've already lost opening day, and we are living in a very uncertain time with this virus that's taken over the world. Forget about America. It's taken over the world. And talks about dates of it ending and curves and trying to do analytics with this thing is almost laughable to me. But can you imagine a day if they got Mookie Betts and they didn't play baseball and they're going to give him a year of service time no matter what, and that at the end of the season, if they don't play baseball, he's an unrestricted free agent and can go wherever he wants. Do you believe that that could happen? And do you believe that if it does happen, that they would still be able to convince him to stay and play for the Dodgers and cut a deal with the Dodgers?
Boy, well, it looks like it's going to happen, although I'm not totally sure they're going to blow out the entire season. I know they want to play baseball. I think everybody wants to play baseball, but if this thing drags on into August or July, even then they'd still be able to have some sort of semblance of a season. So I think they'll be able to put together some sort of baseball season, but wouldn't that be just so sad? I mean, you get a guy like Mookie Betts, the celebrating here was incredible. You get David Price, you get an opportunity to put the last couple of MVP together on the same team, and it turns out he never plays for you because of this super extraordinary situation that has happened with the coronavirus. It's unthinkable, but then again, that's the world you and I and all our viewers have been looking at for the last several weeks. And it's, not supposed to stop until maybe June or July. And what's going to happen at that point when we start playing again? Are we going to be able to do it in front of fans? Are we super worried about a second run of the coronavirus? There's so much up in the air right now. But I think to answer your baseball question, yeah, it's just completely crazy. And the Dodgers had such a good team, I think.
Right.
And they really had an opportunity to possibly get back in the big show again.
Do you believe that they deserve to be World Series champions for the year that the Astros cheated?
Nah. I thought about it initially, but let's be honest. I think what they ought to do is vacate it, if anything. Because usually when something like that happens, you could pick any sport. It's not like if you played in a bowl game and the other team got eliminated by the NCAA that the losing team suddenly is national champion. It doesn't happen. So I think the worst you can do is take away the championship from the Astros and then just vacate the title for that particular year. The Dodgers probably got hosed to an extent, but they had their chances to win in LA when they didn't have all that stuff going on. So the question then becomes, okay, did the Dodgers have their shot? They didn't make it. I think that at worst case scenario, you vacate it.
So the Rendon and Trout together in the same lineup with Ohtani, are they legitimately going to have a winning, dangerous team in Anaheim? And let's stop calling it Los Angeles because I never will. I lived in Huntington Beach. Thanks. It's Orange County. Let's be clear.
Yeah, I think I think basically it's going to be, and all the Angels could win and all the final scores would be 13-12 because the pitching right now for the Angels is just not there. And they keep trying to bring in old timers. They keep trying to bring in guys who are on their last legs and it hasn't worked for them. And of course, with the tragedy from last year and everything else going on, the Angels, they're going to do or die as far as getting over the 500 mark with their pitching. And even going into the pitching, some of their guys, I was trying to remember a couple of them even had some injuries going through spring training already. So the Angels will do better, I think, than they did a year ago because they've got some consistent bats. But again, it's going to be their pitching. I think that's going to either they're going to rise above or not.
So the LA Kings broke up the team finally and started selling off pieces. And I think it was a smart move. I mean, the run was clearly over. I went to the Vegas night game against Tampa the night Alec Martinez started for him, and he had a goal in his first game with him. What did you think when they broke up the team?
Well, you knew that was coming. The Kings weren't winning. And little by little, the guys were skating around like old men. And you can't really have that. Somebody had to clean house. The interesting thing about that, and I know it seems like so long ago, but when the Kings got rid of a lot of their guys and the new kids started to play, they started winning. I believe they had a 6 or 7 game win streak going on when the season was stopped. So whatever the Kings were doing, their season had already been sacrificed. And so they decided to start from scratch, get rid of all the high price guys. Toffoli's out, Martinez is out. And now you're bringing in guys that hopefully could lead the Kings to another playoff position and a nice run toward the Stanley Cup. Because really, as much as we hate to admit it, every team that wins a championship, eventually you have to recycle the old guys out and the new guys in. Right. That sucks. They do that in broadcasting, for heaven's sakes, although it's a little different. But yeah, you got to bring the new guys in, and this looked like a real good start for the Kings after all the older guys were sent out. But wasn't it great when the Kings were able to win 2 out of 3 years?
It wasn't bad. I mean, I won't deny it. So let me ask you lastly, respectfully, I got 2 minutes. How do you think Chip Kelly's doing at UCLA? Do you think he's building something? And is USC with Helton, are they both going to be winning football when they get back to playing football?
UCLA, I believe he's starting something because not as many people are complaining. And of course, granted, we haven't talked about college football in a while, but boy, there was a lot of complaining the first couple of years. But you saw something coming up in the latter part of last year where UCLA started putting something together. I think this year is going to be interesting just to see how he's going to be able to throw it together, and they need to win right off the top. None of this coming back at the end of the year. USC, boy, the deck is stacked against him. The deck is really stacked against him at USC. But I think when they finally come to it, if he can get a bowl team out of it, yeah, he'll stick around. Other than that, anything less than that, and I think Clay's out.
So I got 30 seconds. Does whatever happened with Laughlin, did she get any jail time for sneaking her daughter into USC?
No, we're still waiting. We're still waiting.
Yeah, well, I hope she does. Better than the other one. What did the other one do? Felicity Huffman. What did she do?
Felicity Huffman. She actually served a couple of, 15 days or something.
Yeah, great. I hope the other one gets 15 months. Anyway, how evil are you that you're rich and powerful and your kid can't get into school, so you pay everybody off to get him into school? Randy, great stuff today on Coast to Coast. Thanks for catching us up on everything Los Angeles, all the teams. We got them all in except the Ducks. The only reason I left the Ducks out was because they beat my Penguins. That game was fixed. Thanks for coming on the show. I love you.
Okay, see you later. Congratulations.
All right, there he is, Randy Cardoon. And that guy knows a lot about cars, muscles cars, beach cruisers. He gets lots of chicks out there in Lipstick City. Hope you enjoyed another exciting edition. Yeah, check him out on Talking About Cars. This is Coast to Coast. I'm Pharrell. So long, everybody. Check out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.